going on, y'all? It's King Spider-Man from the cast of Atlanta Hitmakers, and you are tuned in right now to Crave Reviews. Crave Reviews is a superhero podcast by yours truly, King Spider-Man, and a few of my close friends and co-workers and business partners. We talk about superheroes, we talk about supervillains, we talk about anti-heroes, we talk about how they work, how we feel about them, how we view them. Last week we talked about Batman. The week before that, we talked about black superheroes and how we feel about them. Today we're going to be talking about superheroes who have influenced us in our lives or impacted the world around us that we grew up in, the sections of society that we come from. And to hear that, the people that are here to help me talk about this today, to my left, I've got my boy Sonic.
Yo, what's good?
Right across from me, I got my boy Boss Frank.
Yeah, that's right. It's your boy Big Boss Freezy back in the motherfucking Heezy. You know how it is. Out here with my boy King Spider-Man on Crave Reviews. And don't forget to go check out Who Really Gives a Fuck. But you know how that goes.
And to my right, I have my boy Joe.
Golly gee, Willikers, tokens in the house, guys.
I'm gonna drop my fucking window.
Okay, if you can't tell, Mr. Joe is Caucasian.
No, I'm not Caucasian. I'm just white.
Okay, Joe, you got this shirt over here that says No Shame. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh yeah. No Shame Theater, man. It's a thing that I've been a fan of for years. I've supported it for years, been involved with it for a couple of years now. No Shame started back in '86 in Iowa City in the bed of a pickup truck, man, and it's grown from there to 19 different theaters throughout the U.S. If you got a voice but no venue, No Shame is the place to be. Go seek it out wherever it is. There's going to be one close to you. The closest one to us is in Columbus, Georgia. If you've got material that you want to get in front of a crowd, that's the place to do it, man. The No Shame only has three rules. Your material has to be original, it has to be legal, and it has to be under 5 minutes. As long as you meet those three rules, you can go on that stage and do anything you want to, man. I've seen things on that stage from like ranging from a strip tease to a preacher practice in his sermon for Sunday morning. And no matter what you put on that stage, as long as it meets those three criteria, original, under 5 minutes, and legal, you're going to put your stuff on that stage in a welcoming environment. It doesn't matter what it is. They welcome all types there. So if you got something you want to get in front of a crowd, find a No Shame Theater near you.
That definitely sounds like something to do.
Especially for people who specialize in stage plays and stage acting, because that's a different type of acting than film acting.
Oh yeah, and it's not just like stage play stuff, man. Anything you want, it can, like I said, anything from a striptease to a sermon, man. If you got a song you want to play, a dance you want to do, like anything you want, as long as it's original, under 5 minutes, and not against the law, you can do it on their stage.
Go out there with a song.
I definitely got a song that's illegal.
Okay.
He said the strip tease, though.
Strip tease, so basically.
No nipples.
Hypothetically speaking, it can be anything,
right? Yeah. The only thing with the strip tease was no bush, no butthole, no nipple.
Damn.
But duct tape works wonders, man.
Hey, and feet.
And paint.
So you like duct tape painted feet? You're weird.
For so many more reasons than just that.
No, she get that shit painted on.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get this thing rolling, man. I wanted to I'll start it off. I actually have three though. So
he's changing the rules.
Right. Well, because I mean, these three heroes actually had a huge impact on me and who I became as a person, and because they all represent a different side of being a good person. You feel what I'm saying? Or the makings of a good person. And when I say a good person, that doesn't necessarily mean they don't do bad things or make bad decisions. It's just overall, you know what I'm saying, whenever they do things, their intentions are always mostly good and, you know, for the betterment of others. You know what I'm saying? The first hero on this list is Batman. I put Batman first because it's my mama's favorite superhero.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of. I'm a little partial to Batman.
Really, now, what that mean is, boy, you better talk about Batman. No.
Shout out to my mama.
Didn't you do that 2 weeks ago?
If you listen to this in Plainfield, New Jersey, my mama name is Cookie, and my dad is Avon.
Hey, Mama
you
Cookie.
You thought it was Lucius.
So you can tell me on the Cleveland show, like, it was based off of them.
Okay, so Batman, he influenced me just by the main thing about Batman is he's not a superpowered person, but he stands among some of the greatest heroes in history, in fiction. You know what I'm saying? And he's actually a part of what is called a triumvirate between Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. And Batman, one of the things that caught me about Batman was he never gives up. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on, you know what I'm saying, or how hard this is, Batman always finds a way. And fun fact, a lot of people, we always know how brutal Batman is, but you would rather have Batman come after you than one of those superpowered people, because Batman might break your arm. But one of those superpower people, if they lose their cool, you might be fucked. You feel what I'm saying? Like, there are whole storylines that show when Superman lost his cool, and he takes over the world damn near every time. You know what I'm saying? Or destroys the world damn near every time. And that level of to be able to, and Batman has a lot of power through his money, so to be able to keep himself in control, that's a thing that I admire.
But yeah, I mean, that does like kind of count
as
like superpower because he has the power of money. So,
well, I think it's more about his will, because you can have the money, like in that movie, the Green Hornet. Green Hornet had plenty of money, but he was still an idiot. You feel what I'm saying? Like he became a little more competent throughout the movie, but for the most part, he was still pretty much an idiot, and he had plenty of money.
Let me make this point, because I think I've made this point to you before. Green Hornet was really the Kato show, man. It wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't. He was just a financial backer.
Right. That was really all it was.
And just not to get too sidetracked, but I think Green Hornet was, if I'm not mistaken, was supposed to be like the detective. You know what I'm saying? And Kato was just the muscle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Right, to be honest, though, I'll be honest, I'll say, like, Green Hornet is really kind of like a great value of Batman, to be honest.
Yeah. Because he gets counted amongst the greatest detectives in fiction whenever I see those lists. I see, like, Batman, I see Green Hornet, I see Rorschach, I see The Question, I see Sherlock Holmes.
Yo, right. Whole time, though, real this thing, niggas don't talk about Rorschach. And Rorschach, he was a damn good detective.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I wasn't really too well versed in the comics before I saw the movie. But from what I take, I definitely, you know what I'm saying? Rorschach is definitely one of those.
And the thing about that is he probably didn't get that popular because the story that he appeared in, he died at the end. So
it's just died like at the end of the movie.
Yeah. That's why he only appeared in one story. You know what I'm saying? They only wrote one story about all of those characters. You know what I'm saying? But moving on, my next guy was Captain America. The thing I liked about Captain America was, it don't matter what's going on, bro, what you say, Captain America is always right. He's always on the right side of things. Like, and it could probably be argued, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna lie. But even like in the comics, they had a storyline where they rewrote reality and made Captain America a sleeper agent for Hydra the whole time. Even Hydra Captain America was right, bro. Yeah. Hydra Captain America, he was making points, and the heroes was like, you know what? You got a point. You know what I'm saying? And even when the real Captain America came back and they had a face-to-face conversation, even the real Captain America was like, you know, you got a point. But, you know, he rebutted. You know what I'm saying? I can't remember the exact conversation.
He's always going to have the butts.
But my point is, Captain America, regardless of what anybody says, Captain America always sees things. For some reason, he always sees things the right way.
I mean, that was the whole story arc of the American. Like, he's the true American. He's American. You know what I mean?
Well, something I really liked about what the Russo brothers did with Captain America. Captain America technically only really truly worked in World War II. Like, everything that he did, like, post that was kind of a nostalgia grab. Yeah. And what the Russo brothers did for Captain America, and what Chris Evans did, I think, for Captain America was they allowed him to be right to his own moral code, but putting that against modern sentimentality, where he's a fish out of water. Like, the things that he holds dear no longer matter to most of the world, and so his moral code is constantly tested and questioned, and he has to adapt and overcome, which is at the core of who he is. He is the ultimate adapt and overcome hero.
Yeah, and it's crazy because Captain America definitely already had that gusto. You know what I'm saying? Him as the person before he became what he is definitely very patriotic, if you will. Like you said, like a nostalgia grab, like the classic American. You know what I'm saying? Like, who would really jump on a grenade? You know what I mean?
But in with the modern sentimentality, it would be grabbing at nostalgia that nobody alive remembers to be nostalgic about.
And then this is another thing. How do y'all feel about his detective skills?
Well, Captain America was never a detective. He was always a soldier.
Right.
Captain America is a World War II soldier. That's one thing that we got to keep in mind. He was born in 1918.
But he was smart as fuck. And then for the most part,
he's intelligent.
It really wouldn't be a wits game if he went up against Batman.
It would be a game of tactics. See, Captain America, he's a genius level soldier. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Batman has genius level intellect, but it's general knowledge. Captain America has genius level intellect when it comes to being a soldier. It's the same way as most of Batman's Rose Gallery have genius level intellects in specific areas, like the Joker. Genius level intellect in chemistry. You feel what I'm saying? Penguin in business. You know what I'm saying? In brokering. You feel what I'm saying? With the Riddler in riddles. You know what I'm saying? And like planning.
Yeah, I definitely hate to play chess against the Riddler.
Yeah, for real.
now that's a true one right there. That'd probably be a very interesting game, though. But then it probably wouldn't. Because it's like, if it's a game, a guessing game, you know what I mean? It's a guessing game.
I mean, it's more like trying to force your opponent into doing what you need them to do.
But that's one way. Like, that's one way to play chess. Like, that's why I play chess. Like, a lot of people don't know I play chess. It's not like I'm like a grandmaster or something.
Oh, we need to get a chess board.
But I definitely play chess.
We have one in here Wednesday.
And I know, I think my best moment was beating somebody in three moves. Mm. And that's stupid. You understand what I'm saying? Three fucking moves.
You can't house, right?
Bro.
You can't do it in a three. It has to be four. So they must have just gave up.
Bro, because it was like at one point or another, I can't really remember the board exactly. But I just know that
there were some squares on it.
It's with that queen move.
It's like he sacrificed the piece to set me up for a diagonal attack, and it wouldn't have mattered what way he would have went. You know what I'm saying? Because he would have just been getting chased down and losing pieces. So at that point, that's why he basically was like, he tipped. You know what I'm saying? Because it could have went further than three, but then he would have just drawn out the loss. You know what I mean? And that's what I mean. As far as, like, there's more than one way to play. You know what I'm saying? Because you can play the King's Gambit. That's another way. You know what I'm saying? And that necessarily allows your opponent to get close to the cane so you can take pieces. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The pieces they're probably going to use to attack the trap, you can do that in reverse because they're going to be looking at the king and not looking at the setup. You know what I'm saying?
Are you the Riddler?
I read a book called Lord Lost when I was in, I think I was like in grammar school still. And Lord Lost was a dope ass book that I got from the little Scholastic. Hey, yo, shout out Scholastic for not hindering the content of books that a student can get. For real. Scholastic definitely came through with the book fair. And I got the fucking book Lord Lost. And it was a book about a kid whose family was cursed to turn into werewolves. But the only way to beat the curse was to beat a demon named Lord Lost, who was a grandmaster in chess. So for like 10 or 12 generations, his family has been chess masters because the best one in the family would go up against Lord Lost. And then, but he's like the grand, you know what I'm saying? The grand messiah. Fuck, you know what I'm saying? It's like crazy shit, like wizard's chess or nothing. So it definitely piqued my interest and shit. I've been whooping ass up to him.
So my third hero should be a little obvious. It's actually Spider-Man, the Peter Parker Spider-Man. I had to specify that because the Miles Morales Spider-Man has earned his spot in the Marvel Universe. So when I talk about Spider-Man, I'm talking about the Peter Parker. That's the one that I grew up with. And the thing about the Peter Parker Spider-Man is the thing that makes him Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. You know what I'm saying? You can't be out here with the ability to make things better and just watch them get worse. And I don't mean go out there and fight crime. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about that shit. I'm talking about shit like you might be able to. Okay, like these millionaires out here. All these millionaires out here. Why do we have all of these homeless people out here? You feel what I'm saying? I kind of understand why, but then it's like some of them get into philanthropy and they go overseas. And I'd be like, but the people over here need help. You all over there.
But the crazy thing about the majority of people that are rich like that, they have the ideology that in reality, the same tools that they utilize to become rich are the same tools available. Correct. So they go overseas to where it's kind of not necessarily like Europe, you know what I'm saying, that has an established quote unquote order. They probably go somewhere to like an island or somewhere where, you know what I'm saying, obviously in order to obtain a certain amount of money, you got to get your hands dirty. And I feel like that's the way for them to kind of make amends or feel better. You know what I'm saying? About the way they came about the money. Like, you know what? I'm finna go help some people that really need it. You know what I'm saying? Because let's face it, our homeless people in America, they still kind of eat good off our trash. They can get out here and beg and make upwards of whatever they need to get high. You know what I'm saying? Real talk, like people said, bro, you got to realize on the days that you're off work, and you sit in the bed and you relax, a homeless person just made more money than you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, real talk, bro. Like, any day that you wake up and you don't do nothing, you got to realize, homie. You know what I'm saying? Because it's the way America is. That's why if we had a superhero in today's world, it would still be homeless people.
No, I know there would still be homeless people. All I'm this is the thing that I be saying. This is the thing that I be saying. Like certain shit goes on, and
but like, isn't that a good question though? Like, why would there be homeless? Like even with what's that show called, The Boys? You know what I'm saying, with the whole anti.
Oh yeah. With The Boys, that is the concept of people with powers would probably not be good people. Taken to the logical extreme,
and this may be a deeper conversation that we need to get into here. Maybe a conversation for another time. But I think I can answer that question. The American Dream, in my opinion, killed American exceptionalism. The American Dream allowed a lot of people to get rich really quick, and like you said, they had to get dirty to do it. And once you've got money, you've got power. And once you've got that power, part of you wants to hold on to it, but also part of you is guilty about the shit you had to do to get it.
So, suck that dick. No, so
hold up. Wait a minute.
It's not gay if the balls don't touch the chin, man. But so one of the things that you feel obligated to do in that situation is satiate your guilt. So that's why I think that's why a lot of that money goes overseas. Your philanthropic money goes overseas, for two reasons. Like, one, you need to quench that guilt that you feel for the way that you got your money. But the other thing is, if I want, I got this power, and if I want to keep this power, I don't need to bring you up to my level. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a rich American and I bring other Americans up to my level, I'm no longer special. But if I'm a rich American and I send my philanthropic money overseas, I've still maintained my position of power in America, and I've still quenched my guilt.
That makes so much sense. I never thought about it like that. Wow. I've been in that direction, but not quite that far. Wow. So that was insightful. But back to bring it back to the
sidetrack.
Oh no, it's cool. It's cool. To bring it back to Spider-Man, and well, with these three heroes, I wanted to go back to Captain America right quick because there's a quote. There's a quote from Captain America during the event, the Marvel Comics event, Civil War. I don't know who he was talking to. I didn't actually read the comic. So I don't know who he was talking to. But the quote, and it's a paraphrase, but what he's saying is, it doesn't matter if the government says no. It doesn't matter if the streets say no, if the mob says no, if your family say no. If you are right, then you should plant yourself. It's something about planting yourself like a tree beside the river of truth. When the whole world says no, you plant. I am butchering this, but it's something like, when the whole world says no, you plant yourself.
Look, bro.
You know what? I'm gonna pull this shit
like
up.
A tree next to the river of truth.
It's a deep quote. I have to.
Long enough to see yourself become that.
Nah, that ain't. It's definitely not that.
That shit was cold.
It's definitely not. But let me pull this shit up. My bad, bro. I have to pull this shit up. This
long
is a pretty
short,
deep
either
quote.
Either they gonna love you or hate you.
So while you're looking at me, mind if I
go ahead?
Bring up mine.
Yeah.
And I want to preface this. By talking about Jackson Pollock. Like, you guys know who Jackson Pollock was? He was a abstract expressionist artist in the 40s and 50s. Dude got he was a shitty artist, and he got famous for just throwing paint against a canvas. And the reason I'm bringing him up is, in talking about my hero, I kind of feel like a Jackson Pollock critic. So there's this pretty famous story about a critic that is giving his interpretation of a Jackson Pollock painting. Jackson Pollock just threw paint against a canvas, and whatever it looked like, that was his painting. So there's a critic that is giving his criticism of a Jackson Pollock painting, and it's white canvas with black paint smeared all over it. There's one little red speck, and dude goes on and on and on about how that one little red speck represents the spirit of Jackson Pollock in this world of darkness, and blah 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 blah, and how he's always surrounded by the world trying to cave in on him. And then a reporter asked Jackson Pollock and about the red speck, and Jackson Pollock's like, what red speck? Oh shit, fuck me, I must have splashed that red paint there when I was painting this one. So when you're interpreting art, you're viewing it through the lens of your eye, not necessarily the one that created it. So that's what I wanted to preface this by saying that I feel like a Jackson Pollock critic in naming my hero, and that would be Blank Man.
Blank.
So
J5. 5. And shout out Damian Wayans.
And in preparing for this podcast, like I was thinking about all the different heroes that have impacted me or affected me, and honestly, I really think Blank Man has affected me more than any other hero I can think of. You know, yours were was it Batman, Superman,
and Spider-Man.
With the exception of Never Give Up, Blank Man exemplifies all the qualities that you gave to your three. And when Blank Man gave up, he got a job at McDonald's.
Damn, that was
pretty much.
But you know, one of the reasons that Blank Man means so much to me, and it's you know, hindsight is 2020, and I'm looking at it through 26 years of hindsight. I was in what 11 years old when that came out, and I was just reaching the age where my parents would allow me to watch TV without filtering what I saw, and so I found In Living Color, which was a profound TV show for me. Like it introduced me to so many things about American culture that I'd never known, and out of that spawned Blank Man. And so many other things. But Blank Man, he was the first hero I think I can remember seeing that was not either a mutant, an alien, or a rich white guy.
Right.
Like that, like that's the formula for a superhero. You either gotta be a mutant, an alien, or a rich white guy. And here's this nerdy black guy from the ghetto that's armed with nothing but
like junk.
The will to do good. And you know, he turned that into a life-changing situation for a lot of people in his city. And there were other things that happened in watching that I didn't even realize were happening. Like Robin Givens is in that movie. Robin Givens,
yeah.
Robin Givens is one of the first hot black women I can remember.
Yeah, still the same way.
Dude, she looks the same. She ain't changed. Lynn Thigpen. The only reason I know Lynn Thigpen prior to that is a TV show from the early 90s called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Bro, that was the greatest
Where
fucking show
in the world. In the world. Carmen Sandiego.
That shit saved kids' lives. I don't know if people know this, but there was a little story in Chicago, well, in Illinois, where some kids got caught in a house fire. And due to an episode of Carmen Sandiego, when they, I guess I kind of vaguely remember the episode, when they got caught inside of a burning building, they decided to wet rags and put them over their mouths and crawl on the floor to the exit. Because, you know, putting the damn towel over, you know what I'm saying, it filters. So, in hindsight, it definitely wound up, you know, being factual when these kids did it. And they like, yeah. And they asked the kid, because apparently it was a home by themselves. You know how them stories go. So they're like, well, how did that happen? How did you guys get out? They was like, we did this shit off Carmen Sandiego. We crawled out with wet towels over our mouth. They
made it. Thanks, Lynn Thigpen. You saved some kids' lives.
I will fuck that cartoon. Anyway.
And seeing Lynn Thigpen in that, being familiar with her from another piece of art that I was familiar with, it made it more approachable for me, and things like his robot being called J5,
yeah,
is an obvious reference to Johnny Five from Short Circuit, another film that I was familiar with. So what it did was start normalizing the fact that there are other cultures that are perfectly fine in this nation that are not mine.
Yeah.
And it brought me into a whole lot of shit that I didn't know existed.
Yeah. So, about to run out of time. Got to go through, do a commercial, pay some bills. When we come back, I'm going to hit y'all with this Captain America quote, and we're going to continue with Joe and his influences from superheroes. Welcome back, y'all. This is Crave Reviews. We are here talking about superheroes who have influenced us and the world around us. Before I was trying to remember this Captain America quote, and I felt some type of way because I couldn't remember it. I couldn't remember enough of it, so I had to look it up. Here's the quote. This is a pretty deep quote. I thought so. I think you'll think so too. This is from Captain America during the Civil War event, and I just seen a panel, and he was actually talking. Looks like he was talking to Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And it look, and just some a little bit of background on that, Spider-Man might have been seeking counsel about his decision to join either side during the conflict. But this is what he says, and I quote: "Doesn't matter what the press says, doesn't matter what the politicians or the mob say, doesn't matter if the whole country decides something wrong is something right. This nation was founded on one principle above all else, the requirement that we stand up for what we believe, no matter the odds or the consequences. When the mob and the press and the whole world tell you to move, your job is to plant yourself like a tree beside the river of truth and tell the whole world, no, you move." I just thought that was a powerful quote. You know what I'm saying? When I first heard it, I actually heard it during the movie Civil War, and it kind of made me go back, and I was like, oh, and I read the actual quote. In the movie, Sharon Carter actually says it during Peggy Carter's funeral. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen Captain America Civil War. But yeah. So, Joe.
Well, honestly, I kind of felt the need to address that quote before I go on about Blank Man. Yeah, that's a very powerful quote. Honestly, yes, absolutely. There's something very freeing in being so secure in who you are that you can say yes when everybody else says no. If you're uncertain about something, it can be kind of scary. But if you absolutely know to your core that the answer is yes when everybody else is saying no, then it doesn't matter that everybody else is saying no. Learn yourself, believe in yourself, find out who you are, and don't let anybody change it. Like, you're perfectly fine the way you are. There's enough room in this world for everybody, no matter what you think, what you feel. Like, if homosexual pedophilia becomes such a big thing that there's room enough in this world for it, they can find their own island somewhere where they can go fucking exist without us.
Then go do that.
Yeah.
That's the wrong podcast for that.
But
don't forget to check out Who Really Gives a Fuck by Mike Boss.
No matter what it is
in you, the house.
No matter what it is that you believe, if you believe it to your core and reinforce it, nobody can convince you otherwise. And there's something very freeing in being able to live your life that way.
Well, that's great.
So thanks for sharing that quote, man. That was a good quote.
Anybody want to think? Oh, can I jump in this?
Get on in.
Oh yeah. So
okay. Yeah. So my favorite superhero is motherfucking Moriarty. That's right. I'm going for the villain. Why can't they be having great ideas?
I'm talking about somebody who influenced you growing up, like an actual influence on who you are and how you live your life or how things happen around you.
Like, Where do I start? I mean, definitely Goku. I mean, biggest influence. He showed me that you can be kind to people and still beat the shit out of them. You know what I'm saying? Don't disrespect
with amazing hair.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And it's Goku. So, seriously, Goku definitely was a matriarch in my life because he, you know what I'm saying, was the epitome of strength. And not just because he was physically strong, he just didn't have ill intent. You know what I mean? And that's literally how I am. Like, I literally live my life with the most positive energy I could possibly put into everything. And I have the most dark, negative energy that could possibly happen at the same time. And I feel like that's a great balance. And then, but you know what I'm saying? Just to touch lightly, I think I'm going to do two more. Another superhero that always influenced me, Blade. You know what know what I'm saying? He was the guy that was saving people's life and didn't give a fuck, bro. Like, nigga, I don't need a mask. I'm wearing leather and bulletproof armor. Like, bro, I'm trying to live. You know what I'm saying? But then at the same token, it struck me because you don't need to be superhuman to be a super person. Like, you can, like, in just everyday life, people save people's lives, and they definitely are appreciative. You know what I'm saying? That's a superhero. You know what I'm saying? There are moments in life where it looks like death is for sure, and the person that saves you, bro, is probably the most heroic person you can ever think to see. And it's like, for dude to have that look on his face in the club when they cut the blood sprinklers off, like, he didn't even realize, like, yo, that was finna be your ass, boy. Like, you know what I'm saying? That was your ass, partner. You know what I'm saying? I had you. And then on top of that, I'm gonna say, finally, I'm gonna give it to the Green Beetleborg, because he was the first black kid that was a superhero on daytime television.
Wait a minute now.
I mean, it's a Beetleborg.
Wait a minute now. Because the Beetleborgs came after the Power Rangers.
I said black kid. Like, that was a noticeable kid. It was just like...
What you mean, like a young
like
kid?
Yeah, like an actual kid. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Let's be real. The Power Rangers were grown-ass men and women pretending to be teenagers.
My man's was definitely in his...
Oh, not anymore now. Now they cast actual teenagers. But back then, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Like,
dude-ass was definitely, like, a senior. Like, I don't know. He had to be a demo. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, though... That, like, the Green Beetleborg, bro, that's the first. And then on top of that, his grandmother was also very involved. You know what I'm saying? She was a part of the show.
Wasn't she trained in, like, kung fu or some shit?
Yeah, she knew how to do shit. And she
she did get her ass kicked one time by them villains.
I mean, it's gonna happen.
I know, but that shit was funny.
It's funny how you said that. Like, are you just agreeing? Like, no, yeah, it's funny how that one time the one people did that
sorry,
to the
man,
other group, and
that shit was kind of funny.
It hurt.
Was trying to buck on the villains
because I knew them people bad. That the group was targeting.
I ain't gonna lie, but I did look like Beetleborgs coming up. So.
Bruh, like, real talk. And she was the first person to make me think about doing martial arts. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to all my trainers, Master Kim, Master Ocean. You know what I'm saying? Bushido Station and up at Golden Glove, Windy City Boxing Gym. It's like whole time, she was the first person I seen roll up two magazines, lace them together, and make nunchucks. I was making nunchucks. And that one night from Dragon's Heart, because that shit was hard as fuck. Who was that? What was that guy's name? Because he was pretty prevalent back then. The one guy that played in Dragon Heart?
Dennis Quaid.
That was Dennis. What the fuck?
Why are you asking the white guy who was in Dragonheart?
Why the fuck? You do Dennis Quaid. Like, everybody over here was quiet as fuck. He was the,
I don't know that white man.
And it's crazy because Drake just said it, boy. You tweaking. Bodyguards don't look like Dennis Quaid. Bodyguards don't look like Dennis Quaid, boy. You tweaking. You know what I'm saying? That's hilarious. But anyway, yeah.
I could have gone Sean Connery, but he was the voice of the dragon.
Remember Sean Connery because of The Rock, because I felt like that was the hardest name for a movie as a kid. I'm like, The Rock? With Sean Connery? It's gotta be good.
And Sean Connery's one of those guys, like really, I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way, but I cannot say his name without his accent. It's the same thing with
Sean Connery.
It's the same thing like with Antonio Banderas.
Right, you gotta like, say Banderas. We don't have COVID.
Speak for yourself.
All right, Sonic.
All right.
Who you got?
I actually got two, though, because he's the man. I'm going to take some advice from Frank Miller. Like Marvel DC Universe. But the first one I'm going to go with DC. It is the Jon Stewart Green Lantern. The reason why that I like the Jon Stewart Green Lantern is because even though, like, he was chosen to become the Green Lantern, one thing that he didn't do, he didn't forget. from. Like, he never let the power get to his head. And one thing that I could respect him is that even though that he had a ring that could do anything that you can imagine, he still got hands, though. Because one thing that he ain't afraid to do, he ain't afraid to throw down with you. So even though if he ain't got his power, shoot, he can still kick your ass in a sec. And one thing that I liked about him is that he would always, like, you know, visit his old neighborhood. No, you didn't let me finish, bro. Like, one thing is that he never forget where he came from, though. So that's the reason why, like, he always took a trip down. Is something funny? Frank, are you okay?
Nigga, what the hell are you laughing at, nigga? Because he just rolled that goddamn blunt, and he licked.
Oh, damn. My bad. Damn.
And he looked like he was looking something else.
Damn. I didn't even realize.
I was going to stop him, but then I was like, I mean,
why didn't you, man? Damn.
Body guys don't look like Dennis Quaid, boy. You tweaking.
Boy, I'm done.
It's all right, man. It's okay.
If you have coronavirus, you know who's
lying. No, I don't.
Hey, this was just a sidebar. This was the conversation we had with me and my older brother. You know, shout out to that boy Sergio. My mans don't smoke at all. And the question he presents to us in the midst of us smoking, same thing, five people set up. He like, yo, so y'all lick the blunt? And then this how you know he was his. With y'all saliva. And then y'all share it? Like, why would you bring saliva into this? You know what I'm saying? You could have ended that, lick the blunt.
I think the person that licked the blunt brought saliva into it. Not him.
You're like, bro, so with y'all saliva, then y'all share, and then, you know, we smokers. So the common answer is,
but you dry it out with the lighter.
Boy, that's not doing nothing. So my man sat there, rolled a whole blunt with a cup of water. He was like, y'all ain't never tried doing it with water? We like, nah, Serge. That's why we use it, saliva, because it helps the blunt to stick. You're like, but yeah, you just wet it. How about you just use water? You don't even smoke. No, I bet. How much is a bag of that? Oh, you for real? Yeah. So the nigga, $20. All right, here goes $20. Give me a bag. Takes the weed. You got a blunt. Let me get this. Breaks the blunt. How you break it down? Mm-hmm. This how you do it? Okay. Oh, y'all got splitters? Okay. Use the splitter, break the blunt down, wets it with water, rolls the blunt, right? He's like, oh, okay, this y'all technique? Okay, this how you do it? Rolls the blunt, seals it with water, dries it. It's stuck. He's like, all right, now y'all hit it. Everybody hit the blunt. He's like, all right, pass it back. My other brother, Scoob, like, nah, don't pass that back to him. I'm like, but it's really here. He's like, nah, but don't, nah, fuck that. Don't pass that shit back to him. Whole time, passed it back to him. I'm like, huh, here you go. He's like, all right, cool. Balled that shit up, threw it in the garbage. Like, boy, what the fuck is you doing? I don't smoke weed. Nigga! He's like, I only bought that shit to show you niggas that you could have rolled it up with water.
In the store.
Well, if I can I science the shit out of that real quick?
You said science. I mean, we're really burning time, but go ahead.
So there is an enzyme in human saliva that breaks down amino acids. So saliva versus water. When you lick a blunt wrapper, the amino acids in your saliva breaks down the proteins in the blunt wrapper and makes it stick together better than water ever could. There's a reason people been licking it instead of just putting some tap water on it.
I'm sorry, but there's a reason you have a white boy on the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, oh, give it to him.
I ain't gonna hit that shit. It's got corona. He licked it.
Like, excuse me, right. What was that question? Oh, I'm sorry. Direct it to him.
I ain't gonna lie, I kind of knew that shit, but I could not have explained it like that.
I'm not finna give a fuck about amino acids. make sure that shit closed.
I was just gonna be like, man, saliva is definitely different than water. Water is thin as fuck. Saliva is thin.
There's some extra shit in there, and it mixes together, makes some kind of collaboration or whatever the fuck.
Here's the extra shit, man. Make sure that shit closed.
Like,
that's all you
got
to do.
All right. Who else you got? John Stewart and who else?
All right. And this is the reason why that I call myself Sonic. But I'm going out the DC Universe. But Sonic the Hedgehog is really the influence of why I am who I am today. The reason why is because Sonic is the character that always lives by good. Like he don't bother nobody. He's a cool, laid back person. And it's like he gets along with everybody, and it's like once you cross him, he will forgive you, but he just cannot fuck with you like that. And the reason why that I like, the reason why I feel like I'm more of that character is because I look out for people. I don't know why, but it's just in my character, is that I don't believe in like messing anybody over. I don't believe in doing like any like sadistic shit to anybody. If it was up to me, right, like I wish the world could just get along like it be in like, you know, shows and like books and stuff. It's just that if evil comes my way and if you try me, like best believe you're not going to win that battle. And that's
say that nigga.
Right,
I mean, my night.
You stupid.
I'm no longer saying my nigga. I'm saying my night.
My night. Yeah, it's funny. But yeah, but that's just. But like, ever since I was just young, like I just live by that creed. Though I just live by that. It's just that you, basically, you fuck with me, I fuck with you. You look out for me, I look out for you. And that's just how I live ever since. But one thing that I just say is, don't ever fuck me over. Don't ever cross me. And that's one thing that I take real serious. And loyalty, I take that shit serious. And that's what he lived by. And that's what I started living by ever since I was a kid.
Facts.
Woo, got heavy damn, boy.
And I thought it was just a blue spiky dude that spun around really fast.
It's real deeper than that, man. Like, I used to read the comic books, the show. I used to watch the show. Like, bro, like, his character is real mean.
So, during the course of our show, my boy Deshaun showed up. So we're gonna have him put his word in.
There's some confusion over the mic and the blunt and the headphones. He tried to put the blunt in his ear and tried to listen to the microphone.
Didn't get a connection.
Kind of a three-parter here for me. First, I would like to start with Spider-Man. In actuality, he was my very first hero that I liked, and you know, pretty much he kind of spoke to me. You know, and when I say that, I'm gonna make it fast. When I say that, it's because everybody know the famous quote, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And hearing that, it kind of did change it for me growing up. I ain't grow up like the other kids, and I wasn't interested in ball and, you know, playing sports and all of that. So, and hearing that great power, you know, comes great responsibility made me kind of feel like I gotta make some changes as I grew up. And I said that as a young child, you know, with him being a young child himself with that much power, him doing what he does made me kind of realize like I could be doing other things, you know, other big things. And so that kind of made me feel like I got to pave a dream for myself. You know I ain't going to be able to get those super strength and wall crawling and web slinging. Goddamn. I know for a fact I ain't getting that. I wish I could. It just pretty much made me, you know, the person I am, you know, and with Batman also being up there. He was the second guy. I can say Batman because he taught me discipline. Batman was one tough bastard. He's a tough bastard. And him being disciplined.
Was he a bastard or a bastard?
I believe it's bastard.
one tough SOB.
Right. He's called a retard.
Ah, oh, man.
And sorry, to cut you off, but we went on this sidebar. So, retard is actually a musical term. To give less.
What? To retard.
To retard is to give less.
Wow. But I want to say the last person would be, and it's out of the DC, you know, UN. Marvel Universe is out of that. Is Black Dynamite. Yes. Black Dynamite because he's the man that kicks
Dynamite.
Ass.
Dynamite! Dynamite!
Yes!
Dynamite!
Shout out to Michael
Dynamite. Dynamite!
Uh-huh. But he's the man that kicks ass for the hood. Yes. For the people that are less fortunate, for the ghetto. For the ghetto, baby. He does it. You know, all the little orphanins and all the little hookers and the whores and prostitutes. He does it for them. He does it.
Are you talking Dynamite or Dolomite?
Dynamite. Okay. Not the guy from Sesame Street. Little did y'all know. Yeah, so running out of time. Y'all hit me up on Instagram, King Spider-Man 720. Let me know what you think of our podcast. Let me know who's your favorite superhero, who had most influence over your life and your surroundings. This is Crave Reviews. We're going to be here every week, or at least try to be here every week. Nah, fuck that. We're going to be here every week talking about superheroes and shit. So come fuck with me. I don't mean to be so vulgar, but it's the end of the show.
Nah, man, speak your mind.
Nah, fuck that shit. Nigga, speak your mind, nigga. Batman.